The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message.
Don't ever doubt your salvation, right? Don't ever doubt you're on your way to heaven. If you've received Jesus, if there's a time you can say, yes, I, at this time in my life, invited Jesus Christ into my life, you have a reservation in heaven. Your name is in the book. Hallelujah. That's what we rejoice about. But this is pretty cool too, right here. Hebrews 2, verses 10 through 14. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation, that's Jesus, right, perfect through what He suffered. Verse 11. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, He says, here am I and the children God has given me. So Jesus is there talking about you and me. Amen. Verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus has broken the power of the devil once and for all. He has the keys. Our faith is in Him. This is why we don't have to ever take anything the devil tries to put on us. Well, how do we know what the devil... Well, is it of the curse or is it of the blessing? If it's part of the curse, if it's something that's trying to, you know, it's pretty simple. The Bible tells us what's on the devil's to-do list today. Same thing as it was yesterday. Same thing it'll be tomorrow. Kill, steal, destroy. So don't ever get caught asking yourself, could this somehow be God's infinite wisdom and His perfect will in some way for my life? Is it killing? Is it stealing? Is it destroying? Devil. Right? Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Do we ever see Jesus killing anybody, stealing anything from anybody, destroying? He came to destroy one thing. The works of the destroyer. Hallelujah. So therefore, since we are of the same family, see, that's what the Bible just said right there. We are of the overcoming family, right? Remember when Moses asked God, when he went back to see Pharaoh, well, who do I say sent me? Right? And he says, tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. So I heard a preacher say once, just say you're from the Am family. We're from the Ams. God is. He was, He is to come. He is now. He's our victory, right? He is life. He is blessing. He is peace. He is health. He is prosperity. He is the joy. He's the love, right? This is who we are. That's the family that we are. Amen. Jesus has broken the devil's power over you. Let's say that out loud together. Jesus has broken the devil's power over me. Say it again. Jesus has broken the devil's power over me. So never catch yourself doubting, well, am I really going to heaven? Yes, you are. Because Jesus has broken the devil's power over you. Yeah, but I did something I shouldn't do, man. What if I'm doing something I'm not supposed to do and the rapture happens? You are going to heaven. You've been washed in the blood. You've been forgiven. Amen. Plus, guess what? Compared to his holiness, we're never going to measure up until we get there. Amen. But we've been grafted in. We've been adopted. We've been washed in the blood. So when God the Father looks at you, he sees you just the same way he sees Jesus. Now let that sink in. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, it's time to get up. Look at that definition again for risen. To waken, rouse from sleep, sitting or lying, from disease, from death, from obscurity, from inactivity, from ruins, to stand, to take up. Are there areas in our lives where we've let our faith fall? Amen? Maybe it's not in the area of believing for salvation. Maybe it's in the area of health. Maybe it's in the area of the prosperity of God. Maybe it's in some other area. And Jesus is speaking to us today saying, time to get up. Just like he did. Look at Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew 9 and Acts 9. So you can put your finger in one and your finger in the other. Matthew 9 and Acts 9. We're going to look at some getting up examples. Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him. It just makes me think, though, you know, if Jesus is in the boat with you, everything is going to be all right. Amen? Your faith's in him. So he got in the boat, crossed over, came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the man, guess what he did? He got up and went home. And the crowd saw this. They were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man. See, that man must have needed to know that whatever sin you committed that you think brought this on you, you are forgiven of that. Forgiven means completely wiped out, canceled, erased. So get up. This is a huge, 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 huge thing for the body of Christ. Do not let sin keep you down. Get up. You ever seen Rocky? Just keep getting up. Just keep getting up. Just keep getting back up again. Just keep, and then you get back up again. Confess, "Lord, I receive my forgiveness. I'm not going to let the guilt or condemnation or regret or remorse of what I did or said or whatever." He got up. Therefore, he's telling me, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. Now, for goodness sakes, get up." Get up off of your pity party, whatever it is. And follow me. Oh, Jesus, do you feel that? Get up. Now skip down to verses 20 through 26. Actually, we'll start at verse 18. Same chapter. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died. Come and put your hand on her." Now, this is so great. The leader wasn't looking for, you know, moral support. So many turn to, you know, pastors and church leadership for sympathy. This man wanted a resurrection. My daughter has just died. Can I get some sympathy? Oh, we're so sorry. You know, it was, no. He says, you come and lay your hands on her and she will get up. He saw this in Jesus, obviously, right? But come and put your hand on her and she will live. Somebody say, it's never too late for God. Amen. Jesus, so guess what? Jesus got up, right? You get your faith up and you get Jesus up. You get your faith up and you will get Jesus on his feet. You get your faith up, you'll get your miracle on its feet. But we got to get our faith up. And our faith doesn't come from Walmart or from the news or from your bank account, from your own personal self-esteem. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from spending time with the author of faith, Jesus. Hallelujah. Only one place to get faith, right? It's Jesus. So Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman, now see, Jesus obviously was a multitasker, right? Because he's got this crowd of people pressing in around him, and here comes this woman snaking in from behind, right? This then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed, right? So after 12 years, and we know there's other, you know, the other gospels get a little more detail about this woman. She had spent all her money on physicians. A lot of folks, you know, it's time to quit and just go ahead and die or just do whatever, right? She was considered unclean. It was actually illegal for her to go out in public with her blood condition. So she says, no, I'm going to get up and go after Jesus. I'm not going to allow this sickness, this disease that nobody has been able to cure, hold me down from Jesus. Whew. And so she gets up and she goes after Jesus and she comes in behind all those, and she's probably weak and she's pushing her way through this crowd. Amen. Right? Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter. See, she took her stand. She took her stand of faith, right? Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. Glory to God. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd, people playing pipes, he said, go away. The girl is not dead but asleep. So see, they had like professional mourners that would weep and wail and play music and professional sympathizers to, you know. So Jesus put out those people from the room, right? Put out the unbelief, right? And then it says this. So all their tears and fake sympathy, obviously fake sympathy, turned to laughter at him for believing. Right? Obviously it was fake sympathy. Right? But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took the girl by the hand, and guess what? She got up. She got up. And news of this spread throughout all the region. Never too late for Jesus to get involved and do something amazing. Amen? Now, flip over to Acts 9. You got a few more minutes? Faith is on the rise in this place. And guess what? It's going to take faith to accomplish what God is calling us to accomplish. If you can do it on your own, then it doesn't require faith. Where God is calling us to go, what he's calling us to do, is going to require faith in the liquid love of God. The blood that Jesus has shed for us has enabled you to always say, guess what? I'm getting back up. If I'm down a little bit, I'm getting back up. I'm either up or getting up. Those are the two choices. I'm either up or I'm getting up. That'd be fun for us all to say out loud. I'm either up. Thank you, Mom. I'm either up or I'm getting up. I did what you said all those years. Now you're doing what I said. It's kind of fun. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. And she told me to get up a few times, I'm sure. Get up, we're going to church. I remember those. Hallelujah. Get up, it's time for school. All right. Amen. Meanwhile, now here we go. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, right? This is the Apostle Paul before he was. My kids, you know, they like some of the Star Wars movie. I said, this is like Saul before he became Paul was kind of like Darth Vader, boys. He was the meanest killer, dark side, kill the Christians, lock them up, right? Just breathing threats. He's got his henchmen around him. Totally like that. So surely this man, God's just got to take him out somehow, right? Just axe him, right? Right? So, but we serve a God of love, don't we? The blood of Jesus is liquid love. So Saul goes to the high priest and asks him. Now, see, Paul, you got to admire this. He's a go-getter. He's not letting anybody, he's submitted to his authorities, but this is an aggressive guy. He says, you know what? I'm not locking up enough Christians. Give me some papers and let me take a road trip. Give me some guy. Let's go and get these. Let's shut this thing down. Right? So he goes to the high priest and asks him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I heard Kenneth Copeland say this morning. This is the shortest salvation prayer in the Bible, right? Who are you, Lord? There it is, right? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up. I mean, instantaneously. This man, worst possible reprobate, killer, murderer, religious guy, he says a salvation prayer. Jesus' first response after he corrects him, it says, now get up, right? And go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And Paul even calls himself in later chapters. He says, I'm probably one of the worst possible reprobates God ever saved on this planet. And it was that instantaneous. Who are you, Lord? Now get up and come with me. And I'll show you what you have to do. And he was blind for a few days and so forth. It wasn't an oncoming train. It was a miracle, the light he saw, right? Amen. Just a powerful, powerful thing. Now get up. Look at verses 36 through 41. Another story here. This is why the Bible records these things. These are testimonies from witnesses who experienced these things from God. It builds our faith to see it. And then, like Shelley was sharing earlier, we begin to have experiences with God, and we correlate it. Oh, that's because Jesus is involved here, and it builds our faith. Amen? In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. Yes, there are women disciples. Amen. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda, who was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. Somebody say, get up. It's never too late. Here's a woman of God, got sick and died. They called for the man of God, not for sympathy. They had enough sympathizers around. They wanted God to get involved in the situation and change it. To get up. Amen. Somebody say, I'm getting up. Look at, as we close here, Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus got up so we can get up. Many would say, well, you ought not make the Resurrection Sunday service all about you. Well, guess what? Everything he did was all about me. He didn't take the whip across his back for himself. He didn't take the nails in his wrist for himself. He didn't take the crown of thorns. He didn't bear the cross for himself. He did it for you. So it is all about you. We glorify him, we praise him, but we receive what he's done for us. Wouldn't it be an insult for such a great gift to be offered to me, to you, and to reject it? Oh, no, I can't do that. That's really a form of spiritual pride. No, I'm not worthy. Oh, yes, you are worthy. God made you worthy by the liquid love of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Here's some scripture to back that up. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love, hallelujah, for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So see, you have been raised up with him. In the spirit realm, we're seated with him. Yeah. That's what it says right here, doesn't it? God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. Wow. In the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork. Not by works, so that no one can boast. So, if my works, how good I am, whatever, could never earn me a place in heaven, how could how bad I've been keep me out? Well, I've been too bad to ever get to heaven. What I did was too awful. Well, if I could never earn my way there by being so good, how could I earn my way out by being so bad? Amen? One Lord, one Savior, one sacrifice. Jesus, it's all Jesus. It's all him. Hallelujah. God is so good. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Somebody say, I've been raised up with Jesus. Now, just in order with that, why don't we all stand on our feet right now as we pray? We're saying, Lord, As you stand up, you're saying, Lord, I accept that I am raised up with you. I am getting my faith up in every area right now. Glory to God. Just close your eyes and just think about that empty tomb. Nobody there. Hallelujah. He is the same, but he's different. Just like you when you got born again. You're the same, but you're different. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank you today for Jesus, for his great sacrifice, for his example. We accept his lordship. And, Father God, we stir ourselves up right now in the Holy Ghost. We stir our faith up. We tell our faith right now. We tell our faith, wake up. In the name of Jesus, we're waking up from disease to health. We're waking up from obscurity to the blessing of God, from inactivity to action according to the will of God, from ruins in any area of our life. We're leaving those things behind and coming to the blessing, the fullness of the blessing of God.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free, full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington, 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.